And I was reading a thing about the rules for these meetings and things you shouldn't talk about during this first meeting. No politics, no religion. Don't talk about sort of the money you earn. Don't boast about any famous relatives. And my favourite one is don't boast about your love life and past lovers and how many of them you have had.
So what do you talk about?
Hello and welcome to Worst Foot Forward, where we celebrate the worst things in life. I'm Barry Maxtay, and each week I, my co-host and our guest, propose our candidates for the title of the world's worst something. As we all know, love is all you need. The Beatles told us that. And here at Worst Foot Forward, we like to take that literally. We're shunning oxygen, liquids, light, sleep, and all the things that bloody experts tell us we should be rely on, and instead, we're dosing up on love, gazing endlessly into the limpid, dimming pools of our glazed-over eyes, holding each other in the spiky, cold embrace of our increasingly skeletal bodies, and struggling to whisper sweet nothings to each other with our dying breaths. And clinging to life next to me is the Ringo to my medical degree, Ben Vanderbilt.
Hello, I really am clinging on with my fingertips right now.
Actually breaking the skin. Yeah, I thought seeing this episode's going to be about love and dating, I thought I'd sort of start on a romantic note. The audience should know just how much I love you, Ben.
Aww.
It is that much. I'm dying. I'm dying in your presence.
You love me in like a terminal disease.
Oh, very much.
Yeah, you've like, learned to accept my presence.
I love you like a Death Eater.
Oh, mate. Hey, Death Eaters give a good kiss.
They do.
I'm hearing this is so sweet.
Yeah, you're basically here for a bromance.
I know. I think I'll throw up.
Well, I just want some fan fiction from our listeners at this point.
Oh God! Now I tell you what, worst fan fiction that would last for hours.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we totally got that on. Well, I should also introduce our guest since we've already heard from her. Our guest today.
She does not keep quiet. She does not know how to keep quiet.
And she also loves to refer to herself in the third person, yes, which is baffling.
Which she's doing right now.
Yes, she is. And she's sabotaging her own biography and introduction, almost like there are skeletons in the closet she doesn't want us to know about.
And that's where they should stay.
Yeah, it is. The skeletons are all gaffer taped up because they've got secrets to spread.
Because they were the ones I dated.
So our guest this week is the brilliant comedian, storyteller, cabaret performer, Lynn Ruth Miller. Lynn is currently the world's oldest gigging stand-up comedian, as far as we know.
Yes, right. Anybody that's any older is not standing. That's actually what it is.
She began performing stand-up comedy at the age of 71, when most people give up and do voiceover work. And since then, she has...
That's because I can't get a job doing voiceover work, but I'm available.
Yeah, wait till this podcast is always on. Always on.
Here I am.
Thanks very much, Lynn. We'll see the next person now.
Well, we're having a good time. I hope they are too. All right, so yeah.
So yeah, I was busy.
What else has she done?
Not much.
Nonsense. Lynn, you have performed all over the world at international comedy festivals. Lynn has won awards for her cabaret and for her comedy. And I believe you've also spoken at universities like Harvard and Oxford.
No, I didn't speak there. I took classes.
You took classes or
I
gave classes? Oh, you participated?
Yeah.
All right.
I gave classes at Toledo University, which all goes to show.
Oh, nice.
Yes. My IQ is a single digit. Yeah. You know, the head of the music department was also in the Blue Angels or the Black Angels or whatever the motorcycle.
Oh, the Hells Angels.
Hells Angels. Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's a good job.
Art Windsor. Yeah, he was the head of the music department. I said, "What are you teaching them?" He said, "Just never mind." It sure as hell isn't Beethoven, that's it.
Well, Lynn, what we like to ask our guests to talk about to begin with is what they are worst at in the world.
Well, what I'm worst at, sex.
Nonsense.
Oh yeah, you don't understand 50 sex.
Oh, 50 sex.
50 sex, yeah. And then I just never had any practice. So I mean, I'm really awful because we didn't talk about sex. We used to see a little Walt Disney cartoon that was started out, and it started out with, I think, a little bird flying over a tree or something, and it ended up with this woman in labor.
So you got ready for sex the first time and thought, where's the bird?
And it was sponsored by Kotex, which is sanitary napkins, because we didn't have tampons. Right.
I've never heard them called sanitary napkins before. We have towels over here.
No, we don't have luxurious. Towels is what you use after a shower.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. No, this is sanitary napkins. It was sponsored by the Kotex company. And a little cartoon, it looked like little Snow White, and you know, and she was just leaping around, and then all of a sudden... cramps. And you felt so bad for Snow White, and you never really
have
understood.
You caught pregnant.
And all of a sudden you said, oh my god, look at my what's happened to my waist lately. I don't understand that. I was just being nice.
So do you think do you think Bill Oddie is just trying to find pregnant women then? This is what the whole bird watching thing is. That he's just out there hunting for pregnancy.
No, but we didn't understand. So my favorite joke with this is not a joke, but this woman who was about my age was saying, she was talking to me and she said, you know, sex is so different now. It's just these people are just like bunny rabbits. She said, you know, I didn't know I could move. And I said to her, I didn't know either. So, I mean, I keep thinking, I wonder why my husband divorced me. I think it's probably because he was like fucking a board. Is this all right?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, you cuss around.
I had no idea until I read books. Even then, I didn't know. So I was really terrible at sex. I was really awful. And then the second husband was gay.
Oh, great. Good.
So we didn't have much practice because we didn't have much.
We're quite good at it. No, but yeah, I think but not you don't fit the description.
You know that he was in love with a doctor. It was in Columbia City, Indiana. So he used to say to me, and this is true, and people think it's part of my set, but it's really true. He used to say, well, I have to go get a physical. And I said, well, you were just there yesterday.
Never be too careful.
No, yes. He said, well, this guy gives me special enemas. I said, oh, my.
Good luck. That is the least romantic thing.
I know.
If I hear you going to your husband, it's time for our special enema.
Special enema.
He's not a doctor, guys.
Unless you specifically ask him to dress up.
We can add some mint in those.
Yeah. It's just the two husbands?
Isn't that enough? The two.
Would Madam care for another husband?
Would you like another? No, I'm shopping now. I actually am shopping. I need to find someone. Write this down, everyone that's listening. 99. This is my priority. 99 years old with a terminal illness.
Okay, and obviously money.
A good insurance policy. He doesn't have to have money. I'll live through the year till I fix it.
Cool. Good. I like that you've got the plan on.
And then we'll have it. He's 99, so our anniversary will be our anniversary breakfast.
Nice.
And it will be one.
Take the risk. He doesn't last the day.
I will never forget, and he will never remember. I will fix him. And then green card. That's what I need.
I've two things I should point out to listeners.
You know someone.
I know someone. All I'm saying is two words, Kirk Douglas.
Yeah, he just turned 100.
Yeah. Perfect. Won't last 3 months.
Exactly. I know.
I'll change his diaper. I'll give him I'll give him his medication.
No, I'll change his diaper.
No, I'll change his diaper.
Our topic this week, as I mentioned earlier, is we're going to talk about the world's worst first dates. And we suspect that Lynn's experience will stand to her during this discussion.
Because I forgot to point out at the end of your introduction, you were on the First Dates TV show on Channel 4 about a month or two ago.
Oh, yeah. October 30th, something like that, 29th or 30th October.
How did it go?
And this man was he was 77, so he was a toy boy. And he kept saying through the whole thing, I'm really fit. I walk 70 miles every morning before breakfast, and I am fit. And when we went out of this, was at St. Paul's Cathedral, that little area there, there were some young men playing ping pong. And as we walked out to go to our interviews, he grabbed the paddle, the ping pong paddle, from one of these guys and started hitting them, but he missed every single one. And at the end, when we left, I said, well, goodbye, I'm going back to Brighton. He said, well, I'm going back to Milton Keynes. I said, are you walking? Because he's so fit. And he said, no, he wasn't walking. But he was the one that said, if you watch the interview, he said, I still have feelings.
Oh, I know. And he broke his heart, Lynn.
No, he said, I still have feelings, and there's always that blue pill.
And so he doesn't have feelings all over then.
Yeah, no. No, not all over. Yeah. But he remembers. And I said to him, if I have to wait 4 hours, I'm going to a movie. Or I'm using my hand. I'm not fussing around.
Time is money at your age.
Right, especially, you don't know how much time you have left. I may not see the morning. I'm not waiting around for 4 hours. But he wasn't the worst first date because they make it very nice. They're lovely at Channel 4, the people in 2020. They're really lovely. Mm. But my worst first date...
Ooh, we're gonna come to your absolute worst one in a minute, because we're going to start with Ben, first of all, to ease you in, so you can hear some examples.
It's not the first time I've eased Lynn into a show. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. I absolutely couldn't help myself.
That was too good. That was an opening. You can't resist.
15 all.
Yeah, if you can find it.
The
all right,
phones are ringing off the hook here, guys.
We are disgusting. All right, go ahead.
So I basically looked up various stories on the internet of bad first dates. And I'll be honest, a lot of them get very depressing and very murder in the first degree very quickly.
Oh, no.
There was like, this is not funny. You're not allowed to laugh. This is not funny. But
I'm already laughing.
The first hit.
I'm crying.
It was from the Daily Mail website about someone who went on a first date in Russia from a dating app they found, and then was beheaded.
Oh no.
Which is really sad, but it was just
this way. It's a good way to...
Yeah. Beheaded isn't a euphemism I haven't heard yet, is it?
No, it's not a euphemism you haven't heard yet. She should have swiped left.
Yeah.
That was the real... And the problem is he swiped left with a sword. But there's a depressingly large number of those. So what I started...
Really, with murders and things like that, has nothing to do with that.
What a bombshell that would be,
That would be astonishing. Yeah, well, that's the skeletons in the cupboard.
That skeleton is in the... I put him in the boot of the car.
So I started looking at arranged marriages, because there's all sorts of different cultures who have arranged marriages.
Yeah, Jews do too. You know that wonderful line about... I've got a perfect guy for you, Shlemiel Schwartz. And she says, but he limps. She said, only when he walks.
Stunning.
That's Fiddler on the Roof, but that is, yeah.
Right,
but only when he walks.
It's the weirdest thing, because I've got a couple of...
What about your first dates that were awful? So he's not admitting.
Yeah. Well.
We'll get to
Let's
that.
Let's get to your nightmares.
I've not...
Several.
Yeah, I've not had that many nightmarish ones.
Oh.
If we're talking about me, I mean, the first time I met my wife, I got in a massive argument with her and had to be dragged away by two friends whilst I accused her of being worse than Adolf Hitler and worse than Joseph Ritzel.
Because what had she done, Ben?
She'd stolen my hat and refused to give it back.
She'd stolen your what?
My hat.
Your hat.
Yeah. And I mean, nothing is more Hitler-y, is it?
Yes. Yeah. I can't think of anything more fascist than that.
No, it was absolutely terrible.
And then the next thing she did is she gave you a bar of soap and said, go take a shower.
Yeah.
You don't want to get the hat wet.
Yeah, it was actually very thoughtful of her.
Very thoughtful of her, yeah.
It wasn't even a bad first date I went on. When I used to work in a bar, I snogged one of the customers, and I thought, well, this is pretty exciting. And I did it in a very tasteful way. And then I went out for a date with her, and she wasn't interacting like a human being. She was just firing questions at me. Like, she was doing an online quiz going, what's your favourite album? I don't know. What's your favourite book? What's your favourite colour? Can we not talk?
There are websites that sort of go... If you're going to meet someone, why not take along this list of 50 useful questions to ask?
Oh, really?
What? Like, have you ever eaten sushi?
That'll get her in bed.
Yeah.
That's a surefire
one. A promise of raw fish.
Well, yeah. Have you ever eaten sushi with Try Me?
No. I actually haven't eaten sushi as the gay man in the group. I feel like I've...
You have
played up to a stereotype.
Yeah. However, yeah. Big fan of breakfast.
Massive fan.
You're back to those animals, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're very loud.
That's a reference to a previous podcast.
I didn't know what I was getting into.
Yeah, we've plumbed this depth already, Lynn.
This is going to be the most innuendo-filled podcast, this one.
Because I thought of several things I just simply couldn't say.
Yeah. I think the audience could probably...
the same thing.
I feel like we should just have a noise where the audience can fill in the gaps. Yeah. Insert your own euphemism here.
The two most cringeworthy ones that I found, one is from a story from the Hindustan Times, where...
Hindustan, yeah.
Yeah, and...
somebody went out with a cow.
I don't know whether that is the best thing you can do in Hinduism or the worst thing you can do.
I think it's the best. You go out with a cow and the cow says, oh, not me. You can't do that to me.
Me. And you found like a little chastity belt on the udders.
Yeah.
Each little teat's got a tiny lock on it.
A little thing.
Has a quite coquettish eyes.
Oh, no, I think that's really funny. Yeah, probably the way they do it, too.
Yeah, probably is. They do. No, you're
they've
right.
They've got quite long eyelashes.
Yeah, that sounds like a defence in court. The cow had very coquettish eyes.
It was winking at me.
But what there was a story of some of the worst like arranged first dates.
All right.
And there was a guy on a date with this girl, and then halfway through he noticed two cars pulled up and loads of people got out and all went into the restaurant.
Right.
And then about every 15 minutes, one of the people would go to the toilet and accidentally bump into another person and have a little whisper with the person. He was like, "What's going on?" And he sussed out that the entire extended family of the girl he was on a date with were checking him out.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they were sort of all pretending to go to the loo at the same time and just chatting about what do you think from so far.
Whether they liked it, or
that's amazing.
Did they like him?
I don't think it worked out in the end.
How intimidating is that?
Yeah.
That's like, my eye is a Japanese custom where they'd have arranged meetings between potential suitors. So it's like, it was like matchmaking. They'd have a matchmaker who was called a nakodo, who basically single people go, "I need you to find me someone to marry." And so he'd sort of make them fill in forms and match, Ben and you together, and you'd be brought together by the nakodo with your parents. And you'd basically sit there while the parents would chat to each other, and you'd just be sitting in silence beside each other. And I was reading a thing about the rules for these meetings and things you shouldn't talk about during this first meeting. No politics, no religion, don't talk about sort of the money you earn, don't boast about any famous relatives. And my favourite one is, don't boast about your love life and past lovers and how many of them you have had.
So what do you talk about?
I like that someone has to have that rule laid out to them.
Yeah, but
when you first meet someone.
Talk about food? No, really, symphonies or something?
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. But they it was a sort of a... It's a bit old-fashioned now to do it in Japan. But it was very common, apparently.
Is it still now?
About 5% of marriages now are my eye. But in the old days, pre-World War II, it was sort of still very popular. It grew out of samurai culture, apparently, because samurai would do it to try and link clans and different warlords' families together.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then it sort of infiltrated higher society, wanting to...
Well,
make connections.
I had a friend that said that arranged marriages are just as successful, she thought, were just as successful as love. And I was like, no. I always thought you had to fall in love. But I've never done that.
Fall in love?
Never.
Two marriages.
I wasn't in love with them. No. I think that it's different now. And in the States... I was talking about this because, you know, whenever you people here in Britain say, you always say, "Are you well?" or "I hope you're well."
Mm.
And we always say, we end a conversation always with, "I love you."
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm thinking, why are we saying that? Because I don't. I really don't. But we've made the word not have any meaning anymore, which I think is good because then there's no expectations. I mean, then they don't have to. It's love. It's like... brushing your teeth or something. It's like, you know, it's not an intense feeling that it was when I was young, but that was really very important, that I felt that love Love made the world go round.
Oh,
I know.
Such an idealist, Lynn.
I found out soon enough.
Watch the joke. Love makes the world go round, but whiskey makes it go round much faster.
That's right. So we tell jokes about it and we talk about it all the time. But I think when two people meet, I think it's really these setup meetings, like on dating sites, I think are so artificial. They're so artificial. I don't see how you can find out anything about anyone. But we used to meet at socials, and we met people in different ways. We didn't meet them online. And I remember when online dating first started, and my friend Marie wrote me and said, "Boy, you really get to know them online." I said, "No, you don't. You get to know what they think they are and what they wish they are. And the perverts, what they want you to think."
Well, full disclosure, I met my husband online. Because I lived in Ireland when we first met and he lived over here. So for the first 2 months, we didn't have to meet each other in person. Well, we're married now. But when we first actually met in person, I was here visiting someone else and saw him after a play he was in. And I came back to visit him the next week to spend 3 days with him. It went from having never met each other to basically spending 3 days straight with each other.
So you met him online first.
We met online first, and then sort of spent 2 months.
What was the dating site? It was.
Oh, I can't even remember.
That'll be redacted for. But it's the weirdest thing with online dating is that you, if you're on the wrong sites, you can send dick pics. That wouldn't have happened in the 40s, you know, me up on a date and, 40 minutes in going, "Do you mind if I show you a small photograph?" Sorry, by small photograph, I mean, of course, a large photograph.
Hang on, there's a lengthy exposure on this.
I'll tell you about the date that I make the joke about, people think it's a joke. This guy called me up after I don't know what dating site it was, I really don't. But it was a major one. And I was looking for someone to dance with. That's what I've been looking for. And evidently in the States, dancing does not mean what I think it means. But this guy called me up and he had just quit the dating thing. Hmm. But he managed to get my phone number. I don't know how. And he had this mellifluous, gorgeous voice. And he said, "I would like to." And this is really true. He said, "I would like to pick you up and take you out. I'll pick you up at 7:30. How many steps to your front porch?" And I use that as part of a joke. But he had no legs.
Oh, wow.
So I thought...
Easy access.
Yeah.
Did you have a ramp?
No, we did not. But he was the first man that we went to. We went to see a comedian. And when I sat in front of him, seeing my height, I was too tall. He couldn't see over me. And then we went to Starbucks, which is in the joke. We went to Starbucks. And because he couldn't walk, he gave me $20 then. And he said, "Get whatever you want." And that was the joke, was I got a cab and went home. But we sat there talking, and he said, "We haven't really gotten to know each other." And I'm thinking, "My God, I'm not strong enough to lift you from one place to another." And I said, "Well, it's late." I said, "Maybe another time." He said, "Well, I could go home with you." I said, "Oh, no. I said, I've got three dogs." And I said, "Well, we could sit in the bed." I said, "No, it's a very, very small bed and the dogs are in there too. And the cat." I couldn't do that. So I got the cab and went home. And he called me. I forgot all about him, thank God. And he had a car with all this thing on top, the controls. He called me 3 months later and he said, "Hello, this is Saul." And I said, "Yes." He said, "I've decided that there's no future for us." I said, "I'm sorry to hear that." Yeah, I said, "I'm sorry to hear that." But that was really, that was the online dating. That was one. And the other one was the one where this guy called me up and he said, "I'm a redhead." And I said, "Are you a real redhead?" And this was OkCupid. I said, "Are you a real redhead?" And he said, "Yes."
With the wink.
I never got a chance to check. But we went out, and that man was 20 years younger than I. And he said, "Well, first I have to take my pills." And he must have taken 30 pills for his heart.
That is quite some foreplay.
Oh, my God, yeah. And I thought, well, listen, this guy's going to die before we get back in the car. So those are my two online dates. They have not been really successful.
I should tell you my choice. It's
okay, and then I'll tell you about my really awful first date. Really awful.
This might be an apocryphal story, but it's such a good story, I have to tell it. So there's a couple who went on a first date and it goes brilliantly. They've got so much in common, so much physical chemistry. And they go back to the guy's place and they have sex and it's wonderful. Okay. He gets up early in the morning, goes off to work, leaves her asleep in bed. She wakes up and goes, oh, I had such an amazing time. And I don't really know where I am and who this guy is. And she goes, no, what I'll do, she writes some lovely notes, going, listen, I had the time of my life last night, we've got something going on here, here's my name, here's my number, call me.
So far, so Levi's advert.
So far, so Levi's advert. Now, and she leaves that on the corner of the bed. She goes, she has a shower, she uses the loo, and she flushes the loo and the loo doesn't work. And she's like, and she's been for a poo, and it will not go away. And she, like, panics, because she's like, I can't leave that thing there. So she like flushes it, doesn't work. And she's like, right, I'm going to have to take this with me. So she uses the toilet brush and ladles it out into one of his towels, folds up the towel and sort of pops on the corner of the bed. And I'm like, right, and I'll just chuck it in the bin when I go out. So she like finishes getting ready, puts on a makeup, does her hair, puts on a jacket, puts on a coat, leaves the door. Just as the door slams, she realises the next to the note saying how much of a fun time she's had, she has left a turd all folded up in a towel.
Where did you hear this?
That's so sad.
I know. I've heard it from a couple of friends, which makes me think it's apocryphal, but I don't care because it's such a good story.
Oh my God. In the extended edition Marx Brothers film version of this, she tries to break back into the house and gets arrested.
Yeah.
It was a date that really took place over a long period of time because this guy was warming me up for the date. And what he did finally is he said to me, I would like to take you for dinner. And I said, oh, that's really nice. That's really nice. So he drove. He used to be a tour guide in London. So I figured, well, it's all right. And he was driving. I got in the car. And he was going to take me to a very special place on Brick Lane.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But he couldn't find it. So he looked around and looked, he drove around and probably about 1 a.m, this was at 10, we left the comedy thing, and about 1 a.m, he drove me back to Brighton, I got in about 3, and he said, well, I want to try again, so this date is still continuing, so it's okay. He said, I'm going to take you to this very special place in Brick Lane for dinner. And so I really got dressed up, you know, really nicely, because I thought, well, I'll do my best. And we this time he found it, but he couldn't. He parked at the end of Brick Lane, and this exotic place he's going to take me was at the other end of Brick Lane. Are you beginning to get where he took me? Yeah. So what he did is there are two bagel shops at the end, at the two bagel shops, and one, evidently, they hate each other.
That is a version of Romeo and Juliet that I want to see.
They hate each other. He went to the far one. And we parked outside an Indian restaurant. I thought he was taking me to an Indian restaurant. That didn't happen. So we walked all the way down to the other end of Brick Lane. And I'm in my little high heels and my feet are killing me. And he buys me a chicken bagel.
Dreamy.
And then we ate it in the car.
Whoa, man.
And the next time
was he Jewish, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. I was just like, I just like the idea that he wasn't. I'm just going to make sure he tastes it.
Out, he said, you know, you owe me.
Whoa!
And I said, why? He said, well, I took you to dinner. And I said, eating a bagel in a car does not qualify for dinner.
What type of car did he drive?
It was a mess. It was a filthy mess. But I figured between that and his, I could not. But he said, no, you owe me. He said, yeah. And he took me back to Brighton and he said, so I'd like to spend the night. And I said, well, you can't. I live above a fish and chip shop. There's a shark there.
Here, have a bagel.
Yeah, I mean, have a bagel. I just said, no,
fuck
let's
that.
Go to the bagel shop. Why didn't I think of that? That was my experience here in London.
That's
I haven't
awful.
No, it really was awful. It really was awful because he was awful. But if he would have taken me to a really nice place, like maybe the Ritz or something.
Yeah.
Do you find that people don't make...
I might have thought about it.
Do you find that some people don't make enough an effort?
They don't make an effort, yeah. But eating a bagel, a chicken bagel in the car... I mean, if we could have at least sat out on a bench.
You're a woman of...
Yeah, I'm a woman of taste.
Taste, yeah, exactly.
I have standards. Yeah.
Not even a bench.
Not even a bench. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was with him. But that one was... he was 10, 11, 12 years younger.
Mm.
Then I'll tell you another interesting... That was an interesting first date. As I went to see... this is in America. This is in San Francisco. I went to see Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it? Have you seen the movie?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And it was a very small theater. And I sat down, and this immense man, who was maybe your height, maybe a little shorter, but he was as wide as you are tall. And he came in, and he sat down in the first row, and he took up 2-3 seats. And in order to hear what the actors were saying, he put little leather... things on his ears, yeah.
Like,
and he had a little hat, and then at the, yeah, right, that's right. That's
like
right.
little cone things. Mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Because he was too cheap to get a hearing aid. Why do we have it? Yeah. And I was sort of horrified at this man. And then at the end of the first act, I turned around and I said to the audience, boy, they really are fucked up, aren't they? And this man said to me, may I take you to lunch?
Oh, that is a smooth operator.
Yeah, I still see him. Yes, his name is David Phillips, and I still see him.
He made an impression.
He certainly did.
Has he got a hearing aid now?
Or does he still look like Dumbo? No, he still does that. he's got he hears his own drummer. He has his own standards of... But it was a nice lunch, by the way. It wasn't a bagel.
It wasn't a bagel.
It was not a chicken bagel.
Do you notice any difference between dating in America and dating over here?
Hmm. I haven't really dated over. I mean, nobody's ever called me and said, let's go out. That guy, he was following me around because he's 10 years younger, 11 years younger. And he said he wanted to start being a comedian, but he wanted to know how I made people younger than I am laugh. And I said, well, because I'm funny.
Which is the only answer.
Yeah. Is the reason. He said, no, he said, you really relate to them. I said, no, I just... make them laugh. That's what you have to do. So he toddled around after me a lot.
Yeah.
And then finally, we went to the Comedy Store, and he was distantly related to the guy that came after me. And when we walked out of the Comedy Store, he said to me, you weren't as funny as my relatives. So I wrote him and I said...
Oh. Was he Jewish? Because that is, of course he was. Yeah. That is the most Jewish things an audience member can say.
So I wrote him, and this was so distant, the relative was so distant, he had to introduce himself to him. They didn't know each other. The guy
he wouldn't
know
do. He wouldn't do well at a My Eye meeting, boasting about his relatives.
So I sent him a letter, and I said, you know, your relative is funnier than I am. Why don't you follow him around and get him a fucking bagel with a chicken bagel and see how he likes it. But that's what I did. I said, no. Do that. But that was the date here. In America, after you reach a certain age, you don't really date where they call up and say, let's go out for dinner, or let's... You don't do that. I'm trying to think with David, because I used to go out with David a lot. We would go to movies or plays. Mm. And I guess we had a date, but I mean, I would drive there. When I was young and we dated, the guy always picked you up, mm-hmm. and your mother and father checked them out.
Yeah. Well, like checking up a new racehorse, like lifting up his feet, having a look, looking at his teeth.
Kick around his feet.
Yeah. Stick out your tongue, please. Yeah, no, doesn't look good to me. He's not going to last. Let's see your driver's license. Are there any offenses? Anything like that. But yeah, they always did. And the dog always sort of sniffed him.
That's not sinister at all.
He was a wire hair terrier. His name was Junior. And he was very good at it. I mean, when the dog would go up to the guy, and then if the dog went... I'd say sorry.
So they say dogs can sniff cancer. Maybe dogs can sniff love cancer as well.
He definitely sniffed undesirable men. He said,
oh dear. And did your parents make you wear a wire as well, just so they could listen in during the date? Just have a little buzzer on your legs. Go, get out of there.
Don't do that. Don't order that. He's going to put something in it. Don't order that.
God. Oh, I've been roofied once.
Have you?
Yeah, that was fun.
Sorry,
yeah.
I said that like that. Have you? That was
have
a,
you?
So exciting.
So exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting. I've never heard. I've never met anyone that. Had
yeah,
that.
Not by somebody who wanted to sleep with me. Someone who just thought it'd be hilarious to prank me.
Oh.
Like putting something in a drink. Yeah.
And then you don't remember anything.
No, I don't even remember if it was. I don't even remember if anything happened to me. I was with friends, so I was fine. But yeah, it was. Yeah, it wasn't the most enjoyable.
No.
I mean, drink is effective enough without adding anything more
for
to
me,
it.
For me, drink is a knockout. Because I started drinking when I was 75. I never didn't drink before.
Yeah. Well, shortly after you took up comedy.
Yes. That's it every time. That's exactly right.
Yeah, you're like, I've got to fit in this green room right past the scotch.
I'll take some of that, yeah. And then the doctor said to me, you know, at your age, you really should have one day where you don't drink. And I said, honey, I had 75 years where I don't drink.
Make up for lost time.
You're not pulling that on me.
So Chicken Bagel Guy, is he your candidate for the worst bagel date?
Well, that one, and then that one, and I think that then there was the sailor.
Oh. I mean, Lynn, that is the best way to start any story.
There was the sailor.
Yeah.
And he was the big brother of the guy that taught me to drive a car. His name was Donnie Oaken, and he had just come back, and he wore, in the world, this is World War II, they wore those tight pants, you know, those cute little tight pants, so you could really see what you were getting, and it was really nice. Mm. And
South Pacific is Lynn's favorite musical.
I can see everything, yeah. And he took me, this was in Ann Arbor, and we went over to Windsor because they allowed underage drinking, and I was 19. And he used to say, and he would say, how could I be so charmed by a 19-year-old? And I would say, because I was a real intellectual. I was a real egghead. I can't imagine why he was charmed. Anyway, we went to Windsor, and I was trying to be very, very sophisticated. We smoked them.
Yeah.
And so I had this dress that was sort of like this with what cleavage I could manage to shove up. So that it looked cleavage. And I was leaning against different sides of cars, but I was leaning against the driver's seat of the window. And I decided to light a cigarette, and I lit the cigarette and pitched the match out the window, but the window was shut. And the match lit, went right down the cleavage, and boy, he was there after it. And I said, you're going to hit that truck. Stop! And I'm getting singed.
Did you find that semen was effective at dousing out a fire?
No, because he had to get back to the steering wheel.
Sorry, that was childish of me. Yeah.
And
that's
thought,
amazing.
Oh, if he goes down my cleavage, what will he want to do next?
And then
how innocent we were.
Yeah.
What next?
And you come back and you have to explain just this ash mark on your cleavage.
This scar.
Yeah.
And why one of them was all red and the other one wasn't scarred.
Yeah, and the dog's there with rollers in its hair going, what have you been doing?
Why didn't you listen?
This is amazing.
I even barked. No, it was wrong.
Excellent. Well, I think I'll put down Chicken Bagel Guy joint with Sailor as your candidates then.
Oh, and I sent him the story. I wrote a story about it. Because I was trying to be very sophisticated, and that's finished that. And he married a very good friend of mine. He married a woman named Marcia Zimmerman, who I liked. And years and years later, we ended up being on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, oh, I have a funny story about you.
Did he remember?
No.
Oh.
He didn't remember at all, which means he did remember, but he didn't.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anything that fast in my life. I mean, you have to realize the match, it was really quick. The match ricocheted, and I mean, instant! And there he was, I'm looking at the top of his head.
I'd like to think he's the sort of sailor who would have dived on a grenade or something for his friends. The same sort of way.
Yeah, it was the same thing. They taught him how to do that in the Navy, but it was.
Well, by having buxom women put grenades down their cleavage. You have 5 seconds, sailor.
It was the 40s. They had very different training techniques. I looked into some bad first dates as well. In fact, I looked at some presidential first dates, some US presidents. Mm.
They had first dates?
Yeah, well, apparently so. A couple of them, very eager US presidents seem to be.
Politics makes you that way.
Yeah, well, Lyndon Johnson proposed to Lady Bird on their first date. They were he met her in Austin in Texas, but he was introduced by a friend.
Way, Austin is wonderful.
So I believe, yeah. Oh. Good part of Texas.
At the only.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So he met her in Austin.
Yeah.
She was wonderful.
He had a date lined up with someone else. So he said, oh, let's just do breakfast, because he was seeing someone else later in the day. And they ended up spending the whole day with each other sightseeing. Oh. And then at the end of it, he proposed to her. She said no. So he just wrote letters for a couple of months afterwards until she said yes. But yeah, proposed on their first date.
What happened to the woman that he stood up, who was there going, I've got a lunch date with LBJ?
What happened?
She married JFK. I don't know, some weird sort of...
That's Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah. Nixon proposed to Pat on their first date as well.
How did you find all this out?
The internet is a wonderful thing.
I know, it
yeah.
is a wonderful thing. You can Google almost anything.
He basically joined an Amdram group because he was a lawyer, Nixon, originally, and he thought, oh, if I get some Amdram sort of amateur dramatic experience, I'll be able to perform well in the courtroom. And they were cast opposite each other in a play called The Dark Tower. And he asked her out on a date, and they went on a date, and at the end of it he said, I want to marry you, and she laughed in his face, which I think is a tribute to her.
That was Pat Nixon, was it? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And a couple of years later they eventually got married, but yeah.
Do you know, both those women were really lovely women.
So I believe, yeah.
Yeah, they were really lovely women. Of course, you don't know. The press makes us, creates the picture we have. Yeah. All the people, they really do, and then yeah.
Yeah, well, it's true. It's like Michelle Obama, terrible human being, just horrible. But the press have made her seem like she's a really nice, empowered, intellectual.
They went on a they.
I can't believe that. No, but I don't think he's as lovely as everyone says.
Who,
he is.
Obama.
No, he's a pot smoking.
Hey.
Don't knock it till you try it, you're right.
Oh, Calvin Coolidge, he was really, was he the silent one?
He was the boring one. His nickname was Silent Cal.
Yeah, and he was silent. The only one, people didn't like him.
Yeah, yeah. He met his wife, Grace.
Oh, so this is another one, yeah.
Yeah, he met his wife, Grace, in 1903. She was teaching at a school for the deaf. She seemed to be quite a good lady. And she looked across the road, and there was a boarding house opposite where Calvin was staying, and in the window was Calvin Coolidge, shaving with his face lathered up, wearing long johns and a hat. and that made her laugh, and he asked her out. And their first date, he and Grace attended a Republican rally at City Hall. Grace took him to meet a friend of hers, and he sat in silence for the entire meeting. And when they left, the friend said to Grace, "This guy is terrifying." And her mother said, "He's a dour, uncommunicative young man." And you know the story about the woman at dinner with him? That woman sat down beside him at dinner when he was president and said, "Mr. President, I've made a bet with a man that I can get more than two words out of you tonight." And he said, "You lose." That was it. Which is quite a good line.
Yeah, no, the president I know has nothing to do with dating. It was William Taft had the first bathtub put in the White House, and he got stuck in it.
Yes.
Was he the fattest president?
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
he was also from Ohio.
Well, because Coolidge was vice president to Warren Harding, who was also from Ohio, I think, as well. And
he
died, and Coolidge ascended to the presidency, and the first thing Coolidge did as president was went to sleep, because Harding died, and news reached Coolidge in his parents' farm in Vermont in the middle of the night, and he was woken up, and his dad was a notary public, so they swore him in, and then he went back to bed.
Oh my God.
Your first act as president. From ancient Greek times, there was a guy called Cleisthenes.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah? You probably went on a date with him.
I did. Wasn't so bad, though.
In ancient Greek times, apparently...
He went to the baths.
Yeah, and he offered
secretly
you a...
gay as well.
He offered you a chicken wrap.
No, chicken wrap, yeah.
Well, in ancient Greece, they used to have contests for hands in marriage. And so he was like an Olympic champion chariot racer. And so after the Olympics, he said, "Anyone who thinks they are worthy of being my son-in-law, I'm going to have a contest." So not anyone who's worthy to marry my daughter. Anyone's worthy to be my son-in-law.
Wow.
And he had a year-long contest with 13 suitors all competing in wrestling, in chariot races, in interviews, in dance-offs, to see who would be most appropriate to marry his daughter.
So it's basically a reality TV show.
The worst first date, lasting a year with 13 people competing.
Oh my God.
And then it came down to this final banquet, and there was the favourite for it was a guy called Hippocleides, who apparently Cleisthenes was said, "This is the guy, I think he's going to be the one." And they had some dancing, and Hippocleides got a bit tipsy and started to dance. The description from Herodotus says he danced in a way pleasing to himself, which sounds a little bit like very damning. And then he brought in a table and danced on top of the table. And then he pressed his head upon the table and gesticulated with his legs, which sounds like a breakdance move.
Yep.
Basically, he stood on his head and shook his legs in the air. And Cleisthenes says, "You have danced away the wedding." And Hippoclides says, "This is of no concern to Hippoclides." Just saying, I'm enjoying myself. I'm having a whale of a time. So apparently some people think that when he got on his head, his tunic fell downwards, revealing his cock and balls. And that was the moment where Cleisthenes says, "This is not the guy for my daughter."
Do you reckon that's because you looked at them and went, "He's bigger than I am.
He's not worthy of being my son-in-law."
No, absolutely not.
I want to be the statue, see any statues of him.
So the daughter, had nothing to say about
nothing
him.
Nothing to say. So she was given away to another guy instead, whose name was Megacles, which a giant
like
John Cleese.
Must be better.
Yeah. But yeah, she was. They were ancestors of Pericles and sort of famous people like that.
But
haven't
we gotten to the point now where we're not stuck with just one person forever?
Yeah, I think that's.
Have we?
I don't know. It seems to be cyclical. The whole idea of monogamy.
I mean, both
and
of you are married.
Yes,
we are both married, and therefore we'll be answering this question delicately. But it does feel. I mean, because obviously there's the question of society versus the way we've evolved. But this idea that maybe it is a good idea to have pair bonding to raise children. But if you have kids at 25 and then they're ready to go out into the world by the time you're 50. Then you might go, either I'm delighted to spend the rest of my life with you, or go,
job done. Yeah. Nice working with your partner.
I think that if you've grown on the same path together, but very often couples grow apart.
Yeah.
My parents were married for, it had to be, was it 70? They died when they were 77, so it was, they were 55 years, something like that.
Wow.
And I really think they hated each other.
Really?
I really did, yeah. But then you didn't get... I was the first divorce in my family.
Yeah, different generation, yeah.
And I think that people say to me, well, it's a whole different thing after 30 years. Well, that sounds like you're just sort of waiting it out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that. Of course, I don't have that, so I don't know.
Yeah, but I think definitely divorce is much more acceptable.
Oh, definitely.
Back in the day, like, it only became legal in Ireland in, I think, 1995.
Really?
Yeah, it was very frowned upon. And then, even then, by a tiny margin in the referendum. But now
so
it's...
more people in Ireland were in favour of gay marriage than they were in favour of divorce.
But since then, the sky has fallen down and marriage as a function of society is dead, as they all predicted it would be. Yeah, it's been a disaster.
I have so many friends who are wanting to marry their pet cockatrice.
Yeah.
And, you know, brothers and sisters in and out of each other's trousers.
Yeah. I should give you my choice for worst first date ever. And I think it is when Anne of Cleves met Henry VIII.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
As everyone
you don't
probably
have
knows,
to tell us what happened.
Yeah, as everyone knows, he was shown the portrait of her by
Holbein.
That's
like the first one you talked about, but it wasn't Henry VIII. She lost her head.
Yeah. Well, Anne of Cleves thankfully held on to hers.
It's so much better if you give head than to lose it. I mean, it's a new world. It's a new world. We think differently.
she obviously Henry only saw a picture of her and thought, yeah, she'll do. And she arrived in...
Sharpened the axe.
Well, no, she arrived in England and he went down to... She sort of paraded through England to got as far as Rochester. And she was meant to be meeting Henry
in
London. Yeah, it's a nice place, in
it
Rochester Castle.
Really nice. Yes,
yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
But she was there at a window looking out at some bear baiting that was going on.
That was Rochester Castle?
Yeah, in Rochester Castle.
I never knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just at a Christmas fair there, drinking
wine. Was there any bear baiting?
No, I didn't see anybody at the window.
Well, anyway, Henry arrived in disguise with a few of his friends and went up to the room where Anne of Cleves was watching this bear baiting. And basically burst in and kissed her and hugged her and gave
her
a gift.
Let's fuck.
Yeah,
probably.
Because he was in disguise, she didn't know who he was. And she was like, oh, who is this dude?
Oh, mercy.
Yeah, oh, dearie me.
Oh,
I'm betrothed to the king.
Oh, sure.
And she basically sort of ignored him. And that pissed him off. You know, well, no, surely that's a good thing that she ignored this stranger that she doesn't know who it is. So he went into another room, put on his purple and his robes and came back in, and everyone prostrated themselves in front of him. And then she went, oh, lovely to meet you. And the source I read, they went into a next room.
And she went and she looked at him and said, oh, he's a player.
Yeah, well, this fat syphilitic and redhead is exactly what I've been waiting
exactly
for.
What I wanted.
Yeah. But they went into a room, apparently, and said, the source said, their graces amused themselves that afternoon and Friday until the afternoon. So apparently the source said they went and fucked in a room for a day.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, a lot of exciting things can happen in Rochester. I was in Rochester. No, I went into a cafe and I used the loo, as old people do, and I walked and there was a bathtub.
Wow.
So I came back out and I said, are you open New Year's Eve? Because I would like to bring some bubble bath. I'm not doing anything New Year's Eve. It's to be too late, though. Next New Year's Eve, either.
get your invitations in early, guys.
I'm taking in invitations now. Reservation. Anyway, so I said to him, I would like to come back. And then I said to him, are you single? And he said, yes, I am. I said, you know, it's a funny thing, but I'm looking for a green card. How old are you? If he would have said 99, it would have been. I would have got a justice of the peace or whatever you have here.
Yeah. Right,
I wouldn't have let him.
Do it right now. Let's get married in the bathtub.
Yeah, let's get married in the bathtub. I'm bringing the bubble bath.
But anyway, they got married 6 days later. Henry said to Thomas, they didn't consummate the marriage. That apparently they tried.
No, they did all the consummating before the marriage.
Before the marriage, marriage.
They already did it before the marriage.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Oh, I didn't know. Well, you said on the marriage night,
you
apparently.
You English.
Yeah.
No, that's like doing it in a training session. Oh, yeah. And then after the marriage, that's the match day.
But he said she smelt bad. Her breasts were saggy, according to him. And he said to Thomas
Cromwell.
Oh, he
should see mine. I mean, when I went to Rochester, this guy didn't say that. I wouldn't have passed the test.
Because he's a gentleman.
Yeah, more a gentleman than Henry VIII was. But yeah, he said he got an annulment. So Anne of Cleves wasn't beheaded. She was one of the divorced ones. She was number four. Yeah, and he said the doctor in the annulment had to argue that Henry wasn't impotent. That it was her fault that he couldn't get it up, not his fault. So part of his annulment says that he had two nocturnal pollutions while in sleep after the marriage, which meant that he'd had wet dreams since the marriage. So clearly he was as virile as ever, and it was Anne's fault.
A nocturnal pollution.
There was another Anne.
Yeah, Anne Boleyn lost her head. Anne of Cleves.
They were into some very kinky stuff in the bedroom. Lop her head off, then we'll get going. Yeah.
It's like that. She's better now.
There's an extra hole.
But Anne of Cleves did get the last laugh. She was the longest lived of his wives, so she lived the longest after Henry VIII died.
Till 1874.
So, it is now up to me to choose from our three candidates which is the worst first date ever.
I think the bagel.
I'll judge on it. We have Ben's candidate, which is Poo Tao Lady.
Oh, that is terrible.
We have Lynn's choice of the chicken bagel guy, or my choice, Anne of Cleves meeting Henry VIII.
The Flanders Mayor.
The Flanders Mayor, as he called it.
You have to imagine sitting in that horrible, filthy car that hadn't been cleaned forever, looking out the window at this lovely Indian restaurant that he wouldn't take me to. I mean, there was that.
Yeah,
there
looking at what you could have won.
And looking at what I had to eat.
Yeah.
There was,
I think
pathos there.
For me, I think Anne of Cleves was of nobility, so she had a fine life to live with or without Henry VIII, and I think she dodged a bullet as much as he says he did.
Yeah.
Poo Tao Lady, because the story's apocryphal, I don't know if I can admit it.
How about the match down my cleavage?
And the match, and I
that
just
was a killer.
I mean, Lynn
it
is here.
Ruined my maiden form. I never was the same size again.
I think just for sheer passion and to see the hurt and pain in your eyes.
Yes.
That the I bet the bagel didn't even have mayonnaise on it.
No, it didn't.
Well, there
very
you go.
Dry. So I remember.
I'm going to choose Lynn's choice of Chicken Bagel Guy as the worst first date ever. Congratulations, Lynn.
Thank you very much. You're very what do I get? What do I get as a prize?
You get a new date.
That can dance. I want someone that can dance. Dance. Ballroom dancing.
That'd be great. Dancing without the inverted commas.
Yes.
And then later with the inverted commas if you're very lucky.
Yeah, if I'm lucky. No, I'm doing an interview where they said, how sexually active are you? And I said, you know, the only way I can explain it is when you're young, if you drop a pound on the ground, you immediately bend over and pick it up. When you're my age, if I drop a pound on the ground, I think, well, if it's a 5-pound note, I might... It's the same thing with sex. When you're young, he pulls you, because I'm that way, he pulls you close and you think, oh, why not? When you're my age, you think, do I really want to change the sheets?
Before we go, very quickly, I have some of the worst news of the week, which I saw. This is from ABC News Australia. Police were called to a house in Melton, west of Melbourne, at 9:30 a.m. today after receiving information about a person of interest in a current investigation. Every precaution was taken, and they attempted to call out and communicate this man who in the house who they assumed was refusing to come out. 7 hours later, at 4:30 p.m., they entered the house to find it was completely empty.
Oh, there was nothing there.
They had a siege with an empty house.
Well, that's Australia. I mean, that's the kind of thing they do.
There's a lot of empty space in Australia. Yeah,
did you go to Australia? Have you been to Australia?
No. I have been, yeah.
Went to Australia, I kissed a kangaroo.
Did you?
Wow. He sends me notes. Someone said, are you sure it's a kangaroo? And I said, you know, come to think of it, he was wearing that funny hat.
Did he let you feel inside his pouch?
Yeah. I didn't get that far.
Yeah, she's not that kind of girl.
Well, they should think I'm that kind of girl. I love that, yeah.
You threw a match in his pouch and dove in.
I've done that before.
Yeah, when Lynn goes on match.com, it's a very different kind of date.
Before we go, Lynn, where can people find out more about you and if they want to go see you live and all of that stuff?
Oh, just call.
Just call.
Cool. Cool.
www.lynnruthmiller.com. No E. LynnRuthMiller.com.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Lynn. Thank you, Ben, as
my
ever.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much for listening. We're off to go and butter Lynn's bagel. We'll see you again next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Lynn. I'm in love with you. Straight after we did this podcast, I took Lynn to my comedy club and she opened the show.
We had a couple of drinks.
One thing led to another. I woke up the next morning and
bought her a sandwich.
Yes, it did. Yeah. I know a way to the lady's heart. We were both utterly besotted with Lynn throughout the podcast and afterwards. We hope you enjoyed her as much as we did.
Yeah, she was brilliant. There's a lot of stuff we couldn't keep in this.
Not listed your stuff.
A lot of stuff.
All I'm saying is that she may have had involvements with Presidents 34 through 245.
If you enjoyed that, go to her website, lynnruthmiller.net, and you can find out where she's gigging. She's got loads of different dates here and there, all around the country the next while.
And also said Barcelona as well. She's like in Colchester and Barcelona, the two hotspots of comedy.
Yes. Which just goes to show that comedy is very much a planet-wide language. As ever, check us out on Twitter, @WorstFoot, on Facebook, send us an email, worstfootpodcast@gmail.com. Rate, comment, subscribe, all the usual guff. You're probably turned off by now. If you're still listening, congratulations on sitting through this.
Yeah, well done. Although, also well done listening to two creative people hammer through the stuff that they need to do to make you like us and be more successful.
This is why we don't work in business, is that I skim over things like the important stuff. Please rate,
comment, subscribe. Terms and conditions apply. Well, who've we got next week?
We've got Jim Campbell. He's cracking. Yeah. Jim is one of my oldest friends in comedy. We started about the same time together. He is a superb comedian. And also, if you're a pod fan, you will know Jim from the incredibly good podcast, The Football Ramble. Pretty much the most successful football podcast going. Definitely the funniest. But we didn't get Jim talking about football. Instead,
he decided he wanted a break.
Yeah, wise. We got him talking about conspiracy theories.
And if 2016 taught us nothing, that this 2017 is definitely the year of the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, absolutely. Next week's podcast will be brought to you by Breitbart, InfoWars, and Steve Bannon's terrible baggy eyes.
Look forward to seeing you there. Hashtag the Illuminati is real.